Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
One more application. Work. Verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. Because there's no work, planning, knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol where you're going. So enjoy your food, enjoy your clothes, enjoy your wife, and enjoy your work. Whatever your work is. Whatever you do, whether you're involved in education or the arts or science or transportation or food preparation or management or HR or janitorial or interior design or fashion or finance or medicine or the one job that requires all of those, homemaking. Whatever it is, whatever God has called you to do, get on it. Jump into it. Take this job and love it. Right? Learn to enjoy your work. Learn to appreciate the joy of work. You say, but I'm working like a dog. Huh? Better alive dog than dead lion, right? You're alive. Act like it. You know, I really think that's the message of chapter 9. I think that's a summary of the whole chapter. You're alive. Act like it. Act like it. You have the gift of life. And part of that gift is the gift of the enjoyment of work, which is opportunity. Work is opportunity. Raise your hand if you have arms and legs. Okay, most of you. Good. You know what that is? You know what your arms and legs are? Opportunity. That's opportunity. You can do things with arms and legs. You can do things with a body, with a mouth, and with a brain. You can accomplish things and change things and bring about outcomes that wouldn't happen otherwise without you. You have the ability to work is opportunity. That's why even a painful hard life is better than being dead. Because as soon as you die, you lose all that opportunity. In this life, there's plenty of opportunity to do things that will impact eternity. Your condition, your living conditions forever and ever and ever and ever and ever can be impacted in this little sliver of time in this life. Every bit of reward that you ever accumulate by things that you do in this life, when you get to heaven, you are going to be so glad that you did that. You're going to be saying, "Oh, I'm so glad I didn't forfeit the opportunity to gain this reward." So remaining in this world, in this hard, cursed, painful, futile life, is a good thing. It's a good thing. Because there's opportunity now that'll end at death. Unless you think that's just like some kind of Old Testament, sub-Christian, you know, weird thing out of Ecclesiastes. Jesus said the same thing. In John 9:4, he said, "We must do the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work." So even Jesus said that. There's something about this life. The time is coming when you will work your last day in this life, and the knowledge of that should motivate us to pour ourselves into our work while we still can. The fact that our days of work and planning and knowledge and wisdom in this life will come to an end should make us zealous to exercise our wisdom and our knowledge and our planning. Every time you use knowledge, every time you do something wiser than some other thing, every time you plan, that's a privilege. It's an opportunity to be able to do that. It's a gift from God. And it's a gift that sometimes we don't always recognize as a gift, right? You know, sometimes when we count our blessings, you know, it's Thanksgiving and we're going around the table and everyone's listing what they're thankful for and we talk about, "I'm thankful for relationships, I'm thankful for health, I'm thankful for provision," and all this. How often do we think of this? "I'm so thankful that God has given me all these opportunities to use knowledge and wisdom." As Blaise Pascal put it, to have the dignity of causation, to cause things to happen. You know, when you were a kid, you longed for that. You wished you could have that. Everything, when you were a kid, everything was decided for you, right? You couldn't really do much of anything, and nothing you did had any real impact on anything. You couldn't make anything that really mattered. You couldn't drive anywhere. You couldn't solve any significant problems. You mainly just created them. And That's what it's like to be a kid, you know, and every kid longs for the day when he or she can start to do real things, you know, things that actually matter. You know, for a while they're content to just push the little plastic mower behind dad in the yard. But after a while they start to they look at that thing like, this thing doesn't cut anything. It's not doing anything. I want to do something real. And they long to grow up so that they can have what you have, the ability to do things. Each one of you has a spiritual gift. You've been given a, if you're a believer, you've been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. And you've got, not only that, you've got all these past experiences, you've got your skills, you've got your knowledge base, and your education, all that. And that mix, nobody has it quite like you do. You have a unique kind of wisdom that you can apply to this life and the problems and the issues of the life that nobody else has. And the ability to use all that and put all that into practice, the fact that every day you can take all these resources that God has given you and apply them to make decisions and bring about real outcomes that have an impact on eternity, that's a gift from God. That's a glorious thing. But the opportunity to do that in this life is a short-term gift. It's temporary. We're not always going to have it. It's going to come to an end. And so for now, while you have it, work hard. Use it. Wring every drop out of it. Don't take a half-baked, tentative, reluctant, halting, fits and stops approach to life, to your task in life. Don't go through your life hogtied by people's expectations or critiques. You know, where you're just like, well, I can't go too far this way because they'll get mad. I can't go too far this way. They'll get mad. And he'll get, and what does he think? And pretty soon you can't do anything because you're worried about what everyone thinks. Use your best judgment about what God wants you to do in this life. Find out your calling and then get after it. Dive into it. Don't hold back. Be like Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul, who just, so often Paul referred to his hard work. That was something that was significant to him. He referred to it often because he wanted it to be an example for us. For example, Acts 20:35, where he says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. That word hard work, it means literally to become fatigued. And he said, I did that for your example. And he mentioned that very often. And whenever he saw that in someone else, he would always point it out. And he would take note of it because it was a great virtue. For example, Romans 16:6, he's given all the greetings. And he says, greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, these women who work hard in the Lord. And greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. I don't know if any of the men were doing anything in Rome, but these women were getting after it. And he noticed that, and he commended them for that. Hard work in the Lord, it's a great virtue. But, you know, in our culture, in a wealthy culture like ours, it's just easy to fall into laziness, isn't it? You know, we can get to where we don't have to work that hard, and so we don't. And you don't have to work, you know, all day long just for food. And so we've invented this concept of a 40-hour work week, which is, you know, not anything that's in the Bible. In fact, when Jesus made up a story about a guy who worked a full day's work for a fair day's wage, it was a 12-hour day, right? And then later in the story, there's another laborer who worked only 9 hours, and he's envied because he gets a full day's wage for a partial day's work. He only worked 9 hours. I mean, that's Jesus' idea of working, but we've created a situation in our culture where we're about to go on strike because I got to work from 8 o'clock all the way till noon without a coffee break. Laziness is one of those enemies that we all just have to fight it all day long. Even if you work long hours, even if you're one of those people that you don't have any problem working long hours, still there's a tendency to just when the work gets monotonous or difficult or you run into a hard obstacle and you don't know what to do, to just sort of turn away and say, I'll do this easy task. You know, I'll let that sit. I'll go do this. I'll take a break. I'll do this easy task. We all do that, right? That's just natural. That's what the flesh wants to do. But if you get into a habit of caving into that impulse, never plowing through, never just saying, it's hard, I'm just going to keep going. If you always take a little break and you always move to something easy when it gets hard, then you're going to get to a point where your whole life just becomes a sluggish, lame, half-hearted attempt at living. And you don't get anything done. And that might work if you had unlimited time in this life, but we don't. Time is short, and so figure out what you're supposed to do, and then roll up your sleeves and jump in and enjoy pouring in all your ingenuity and your wisdom and your knowledge and your skill and your gifts and your strength into that stuff. And do it now, because a lot of these gifts, they're only for this life. They only can be enjoyed now. Earthly pleasures. You know, for example, marriage. There's no marriage in heaven. Your marriage is temporary. It's only for this life. If you're going to enjoy your wife, you're going to have to do it now.
Take a minute to think through, what is your task? At this time in your life, God has given you a task. What is it? At home, at work, at church? You put that into a package, and what does it look like? How would you describe it? And then ask yourself, am I doing this wholeheartedly? Am I really digging in, putting my back into this thing? Or am I coasting? What would it look like specifically in your life to be more zealous in carrying out your calling? Be as specific as you can. And what are a few steps, action steps you could take to get to that goal? This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download. We're currently in need of 10 of you who would be willing to help us with $50 a month and two others who could give $100 a month. We've never asked for support before on the podcast, but we are at a point now where we need some help. So please pray about whether God would have you be one of those 12 who could enable this ministry to continue. And, of course, one-time gifts are also a great help.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.